Name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Today, we're challenged about our desire. What's our deepest desires? I pray that we can desire today to draw nearer to God and dwell in union with Him. May that be a deep desire of ours. The desire to do all things to the glory of God and the benefit of others. May that be a deep desire of ours. So as introduction, we see the account of Zacchaeus, rich tax collector, with a desire to see Christ. He runs ahead and he's inhibited because he's small. I get that piece of people's lives. I know you're thinking that, so I'm saying it out loud. So he's inhibited. So he runs faster, and he can't see because of the cross. So he climbs up into a tree, and the Lord sees him, sees his action matching his desire, and he says, Zacchaeus, come down. I want to go to your house today. And Zacchaeus receives him joyfully. This is his conversion. Zacchaeus, after seeing Christ and having Christ in his home, he says, I give half my goods to the poor. And if I've defrauded anybody, I'll repay them fourfold. This is like right away, conversion. The salvation has come to this house are the words of the Lord. Salvation has come to this house. Interestingly enough, Zacchaeus becomes a follower of Peter. After this, and he becomes bishop of Caesarea in Palestine. So Saint Zacchaeus is praying for Palestine right now. His home of his bishopric. So the lessons we learned from this account, we see all three aspects of the soul fulfilled here: our ability to desire, our ability to act, and our ability to know. All three are fulfilled here. We see his desire is inspired so as to act, to overcome any obstacle. But my desire is so strong that whatever is in front of this as an obstacle, I will not relent. I want my desire fulfilled. I want to see Christ, no matter what. Christ responds to the action. I want to come into this house. Christ responds to our action that same way. When he gives us a good thought, a good action, and we act on that, and Christ says, I want to come into you. I want to develop a more intimate relationship with you. Come into your house. Every time I think about this, I remember the words of St. Nikolai. Your heart, beloved, is the home of the Father, the altar of the Son, and the workshop of the Holy Spirit. You need to think about that. Let that sit there for a while. The creator of the universe lives right there. And he loves that place, by the way. So Zacchaeus is filled with joy because Christ fills all things with joy. And his life is converted. This is part of what our struggle is, I think, in this life, is that we need to be converted, like, all the time. These interactions with Christ change us. They should change us, maybe little by little, but there should be a change. And we see Zacchaeus' change. So as we walk this life together, let us engage this relationship we have with Christ, drawing near to him, dwelling with him, with this sense that, God, change me. Help me. Help me be better. I want to be better. So, let's place our focus today on desire, to inspire desire to action, that we too may experience more deeply Christ in us. So, a couple things in relationship to that. First, a desire to draw near to God and dwell in union with Him. This is kind of the teaching of the church fathers. This is the spiritual life, to draw near to God and dwell with God. If we're drawing near to God and dwelling with God, we're doing well. It's Christ in us. Christ is directing us. So how do we do this? We pray. Prayer is drawing us near to God. Now, I love this example. Years ago, I was given this example. I think it was Father Thomas Hopko. He said, prayer, every time you pray, you're drawing near to God. But you say, Father, sometimes I don't feel that way. The example is, you're in a boat. That boat's at the sea. But the boat has a rope. That rope's attached to a rock. And every time you pray, you pull on the rope. And what's that rope do? Draws you closer to the rock. That's Christ. So every time you say, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, mercy, I'm a sinner, what are you doing? Drawing near to God. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. What are you doing? Drawing near to God. Every time. It's just not words, beloved. It's a means to an end. Prayer is not just an end. It's a means to an end, to draw near and near to Christ and dwell with Him. So every time I say, Father, I keep praying and I don't feel the presence. There's too many waves in my life. There's too much anxiety. Well, what's happening? Your boat is drawing near to Christ. Don't give up. Don't give up. Jimmy V, don't ever give up. Okay, don't ever give up. This is very powerful. Every time you pray, every time you make a request to God, you are drawing near to Him. Don't get caught up in the results. Every time you pray, you draw near to God. My encouragement is when you pray, especially for people, pray to them with love. When you list a name, list it lovingly. It makes such a difference in how we pray. You know, we get in a hurry sometimes and we have this list and we just like rush through it. Like, rush through it. Slow down. Remember the name with love. Remember the name with love. Especially the departed. Especially the departed. Love them when you pray for them. Especially those that may be people that are difficult for you. Pause a little bit and pray with love for them. Would you say, Father, I run out of love? Yes, you do. So let me read this from St. Isaac the Syrian. There's a love like a small lamp fed by oil, which goes out when the oil is ended, or like a rain-fed stream, which goes dry when the rain no longer feeds it. But there's a love like a spring gushing from the earth, never to be exhausted. The first is human love. The second is divine and has God as its source. God's in you, beloved. Love with the love of God. Ask God to help you love. Help me love like you love. Help me love them like you love them. Be as diligent as you can to pray with love. I can't remember the saint, but it's beautiful. Every virtue is better when it's salted with love. Wow. Every virtue is better when it's salted with love. So, secondly, to draw near to God and dwell in union with God, to have that, to increase that desire, is to meditate on the divine, on the virtues, on God loving you, on God loving others, on you loving others. St. Paul to Timothy says, meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. He gave Timothy these directions, and he says, meditate on them. Why? Because when you meditate on something, it becomes a target for you. It's not just a simple meditation. It's something that it will stir in you a desire for. So he says to Timothy, meditate on these things. to trust in the living God. Trust. Meditate on trust. That Christ is saving all men. He's saving you. He's saving everyone. Christ is the Savior of all. These are words of St. Paul to Timothy. To be an example of in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. And do not neglect the gifts God has given you. Meditate on those things. Those become targets. Those targets become desires. Those desires become actions. Those actions bring you to God. And that becoming to God changes your life. So, also to love God. To love Him. You know, you say, I do. I'm here. I'm Father Nicholas, I'm here. Look, I'm here. I come to church. I love God. Well, that's wonderful. So I hear the words of St. Bishop Basil in my back ear. Then love Him more. Love Him more. Love Him more. You know, there's St. John of Kronstadt says, you know, when you struggle, force yourself to love. So we sometimes need to make an effort with love. Kind of turn the stick forward a little bit. You know what? There's a great psalm, Psalm 18, and it's David's psalm after he is delivered from his enemies and from the hand of Saul who's trying to kill him. He says, he starts the psalm, I will love you, O Lord, my strength. You're my firm foundation, my refuge, and my deliverer. He says, I will love you. Like I do and I will. Right? More. I will more. So we need to understand how important this piece is in our life. So, let us challenge ourselves in our desire to draw near to God and dwell in union with Him. So secondly, this next desire I'd like us to focus on is to do all things to the glory of God and the benefit of others. This was I remember this very directly. We were at a young adult conference, and Father Hopko was asked a question by a student, and he says, Father, I don't know if I should go to this school. I go back home and work with my dad. I have all these questions about what's the will of God for me? You ever have that question? What's the will of God for me? He says, well, the will of God is very simple, as Father Hopko would say. Just do all things to the glory of God and the benefit of others. That's the will of God. And he says, and if you can choose, if you're in a place where you can do that, stay there. If you're in a place where you can't do that, get out of there. To do all things to the glory of God and the benefit of others. If you can do that there, you do that in your life, you're in a good place. If you're not doing that in your life, you're not in a good place. A blessed memory, Father Thomas. We love you very much. Very helpful to our parish. So how do we engage this? First of all, we need to be grateful that we're children of God. God has called us by the will and the goodwill and love of God the Father, by the grace and the benevolent sacrifice of the Son, by the life-giving seal of the Holy Spirit. We're called to be children of God, enrolled as soldiers of Christ, protected by the shield of faith, the breastplate of love, and the word of salvation, and the hope of salvation, and the word of God. We're protected. We're directed, we're in a battle, but we're guided by Christ, surrounded by the saints and the angels. We're called to fight the good fight, to do all things to the glory of God, to fight the good fight. So, I was thinking how to explain this. An example. When we're fighting a fight, okay, when you know the strategy of the enemy, it's really helpful. You know, there's a couple of really great football games on today. Forgive me, but I won't be able to see them, but it's okay. But the job there is for the offense to understand what the defense is trying to do. And they'll be successful. The defense is trying to determine what the offense is doing, and they will be successful. When you know what's coming at you, you're better at it. So, in our war, in this battle we have a good thought that comes to us, a desire that we try to work on, and the enemy sneaks in, and he starts to throw other things at us. Okay. Saint Nicodemus of the Holy Mountain says, it's not funny, but you'll see what I mean. The enemy comes from the front and from the rear, from the left and from the right, from the top and from the bottom. He's at you. He comes at you. But you need to know what he's doing. This is very helpful. Okay, he comes from above, saying that you're really good. You should do more. You should pray longer. You should not eat for like a week. Okay, you're so good, you should do more. Okay, God gave you a simple desire, and he's trying to make you step up way farther than your ability. Say, no thank you, no thank you. I know what I'm to do here. Or below, oh, this is too hard for me. I'm so tired. I shouldn't have to do all this extra work. I don't need to pray this morning. I need to sleep in. I just need to sleep in. No! Do your prayers, right? Don't do more than you need to do, and don't do less than you need to do. Just do your prayers. And from the right, he comes in and he offers you another good thought to do. You get up and you start to do your prayers, and you go, oh, I need to water the yard. I'm going to go water the yard first, and then I'll come back and do my prayers. Okay? Oh, on my way to the watering, oh, my goodness, I need to take this little thing into the car so you don't forget it today. Okay? And by the time you're done, what happened? You forgot to do your prayers. It was a good thought, right? Not good. Or he throws from the left, he throws a sin at you. You know, you start to pray, but you don't like that person very much, and you start praying for them. You should not pray. You should not pray, because you're not in a good spot. See? Oops. No. Push him away. And from in front, the anxieties of life. Oh my gosh, my day is so busy today. I'm sitting here ready to pray, but I've got so much to do. I'll skip my prayers. What? Pray. Don't. Or from behind. Oh, I'm just remembering all the sins of my life. I'm just such a rotten person. God will never hear my prayers. I'm not going to do them today. See this? Have you ever experienced any of those thoughts? Like every one of those. Everyone. Right? Everyone. But you know, that's not God. That's not even you. That's a thought you've been given to trip you. This is exciting. I feel like I've just got an offense against this defense. It's like, I can win really well now. I know how the enemy's attacking me. I can get really good at this. So when it comes, defeat it quickly. So, we're soldiers of Christ here, beloved. We do all things to the glory of God and the benefit of others. And this is an important piece of our life, to be able to be good at this work of soldiering. But again, remember, God is your helper, and you have the saints and the angels with you. Can't do that alone. So to the benefit of others, we need to benefit others. You know, we need to flee judgment and practice prayer. We all do this, is that when we think about somebody or something that's bothering us or some situation, we judge it. We start to complain about it in our head even. Become a prayer. Pray about it. Pray about it. You know, we are called, and it's very clear in Revelation, God makes us all kings and queens and priests. We're kings, queens over what we've been given, around what God has given to me. I want to make that which is around me a holy thing. Okay? But we're also called to be priests, each of us, to pray for people in our life. God brings everybody in your life that's in your life needs your prayers. God's placed you in their life because he wants you to pray for them. So, beloved, important. So, to love to those close to us, I want to give this final encouragement. Those close to us, we need to be generous, lovingly and generous with those around us. So remember years ago, I gave this to a young man in his marriage early. I said, there's three things you should say to your wife. I love you, thank you, and forgive me. And I talked to him weeks later, and I said, how's it going? He said, well, Father, they all work well except one of them. I said, which one was that? He said, well, I say, I love you, and she likes that. And I say, thank you, and then I say, I forgive you.
Time out! Time out! No.
Forgive me.
Oh, that's the problem.
I love you. Thank you. Forgive me. This goes for you kids too, you know. It's how you should treat your parents. I love you, thank you, and forgive me. When I do something wrong, you say forgive me, right? When I don't do something I should do, forgive me. I love you. Thank you. Forgive me. Take that home. This puts life on us. This is a good thing because it puts it on you. It's not like the other person's got to do something to make your life full. This makes your life full. I love you, thank you, forgive me. So let these things sink into you. You know, we want to, I pray that our desire today will be stirred. Draw near to God and dwell more intimately with him. And that we would do all things to his glory and the benefit of others. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.